Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Are you ready to be outstanding? Who's ready to be outstanding? Bill, come on, you had something to share. Jump up here. I saw you in the corner and then you disappeared.
Well, when you were saying that someone wanted a word from the Lord, and I've been putting it off and putting it off, but all it is, the Lord is saying that he's riding with you. He's riding with you. And not only that, this morning he's dancing, hilariously dancing and reeling around and singing over us with many, many blessings this morning. And not only that, there's many of you are wondering where you're going, what you're going to do, but his word says to you right now, I have given you the nations. I have given you the nations for your inheritance. So an inheritance is something you have to pick up. And the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession.
Amen. 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 An inheritance may be yours by right, but you also have to claim it and lay hold of it. Hallelujah. You have to possess. He says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as your possession, which is ask of me, but then you must possess. Amen. Who's calling out for nations? Pick a nation, pick it. I actually picked the whole globe. That's why it says down here, global glory. And it's coming. I tell you. Hallelujah, because we're outstanding. Amen. Let's look at outstanding. Outstanding, standing out among others of its kind, prominent, distinguished, extremely good or excellent, easy to notice, especially because of being important or very good. I am outstanding. Amen. It's right there on the slide. Look at it right now. Bam, you're outstanding. Here comes another slide. It's coming right now. This very minute, as I'm speaking, here it goes. There it is, outstanding. Thank you very much for that. All right, outstanding. See, standing out. See, Jesus was a man just like us. He did not cease to be God, but he ceased to operate out of the privilege of being God. It says he emptied himself of divinity, not meaning he stopped being God, but he didn't operate out of being God. He operated as a man, out of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you see, because of that, when he did things like calm the sea and feed the crowds and do these things, they would say stuff like, what kind of man is this? You know, people should be saying that about you. What kind of person are you? I mean, man, you are just favor seems to not just come behind you. It overtakes you, tackles you, and creams everything around you. I mean, you just are walking blessed all the time. Come on. How many say that's me? That's me. That's me. Because you are outstanding. You are outstanding. Now, so we talked first week, we said, how do you put God first? Outstanding people put God first. Because it says in Matthew chapter 6 there, Matthew chapter 6, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So you don't have to spin the 25 plates like the guy at the circus. I'm trying to keep my life going. All you got to do is put God first. He says, and all this stuff, I'll take care of it for you. How many think that's good? I've made the Lord my one priority, one thing I desire, one thing I seek. I seek God. And you see, God will direct your life. God will order you, and you can operate according to his standard time and procedure, and it will always lead to blessing. Amen. It will always lead to blessing. So we talked about you have to put God first. How do you know you're putting God first? We talked about you put God first with your treasure. Say treasure. If you're not putting God first with your treasure, you're not deceiving anybody else, not even God, but you are deceiving yourself. Because if you're not putting God first with your treasure, then he is not first in your life. All right. How many know that? It's really easy to do, because if you put him first with your treasure, then he becomes responsible to take the rest of it, ridiculously bless it, and multiply and increase it back to you. I think that's a good trait. You put him first with your treasure. Put him first with your talent. We want to honor God with our talent, whatever talent you have, whatever gifts or ability he has given you, it's so he can serve other people. And you put him first when you use your talents to serve. Come on, who are you serving with your talents? God's given them for you to serve and to be a blessing. And then it said, we talked about the fact that you serve him with your time. We put God first with your time. If you're not making time for God, if you don't regularly make time for God, then you have not put him first. But we're all doing that now because that was a few weeks ago. Three attributes of outstanding people started this last week. Number one, they are planted. Amen. Number two, they live intentionally. Intentionally. Probably turn this mic down and I won't have to move it to my belly button to speak. You know. They live intentionally. And number three, they display confidence. All right. It says they are planted. Psalm 92, 13 and 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. How many think that's good? What do you mean planted? Well, we showed you my little picture of the bean. Remember, you put the bean in and it grows. When I was at school, I kept on digging up my bean, going, nothing going on with my bean. You see, you got to let the bean go down. You got to let it die. You got to let it go in darkness. You got to let it be hidden. Sometimes you got to do that with your life. You got to plant yourself before you're going to see fruit, before you're going to see the flourishing. Before something wonderful happens in your life, you might have to hold the spotlight on somebody else. You might have to be hidden for a while and be willing to be hidden for a while. You might have to be willing to do this. It says, humble yourself. And then it says, in due season, God will exalt you. Wouldn't you rather humble yourself and let God do the exalting? I mean, if you don't humble yourself, he is a master at humbling. He knows how to do that. So I reckon do it yourself. And you're miserable at exalting. Miserable. No matter how good you think you may be, you're not. But imagine if you let him exalt you, how awesome that is. So you know what? If you humble yourself, you plant yourself, establish yourself in the body of Christ. It's bad today. People are so independent, such a spirit of independence. People don't want to belong, don't want to give their strength. You know, they're always withholding. You know, but I tell you, withholding is from the devil. The devil said to Peter, or he said to Jesus, I want to sift Peter, which means I want to separate him. I want to separate these guys from you. And you see, a withholding spirit, when there's separation, when there's a sense of independence in you, that's not from God. God wants you to belong. God wants you to give. God wants you to invest. God wants you to love. God wants you to pour your life out for others. And he wants you to do that. He wants you to plant yourself in the house of the Lord. So planted people flourish. Can you get an amen out of that one? All right, then you got the living intentionally. Jesus lived intentionally. Folks, we got to be intentional about what we do. Be intentional about your life. So many people, they keep on doing the same stuff, following the same track, doing the same things. They keep getting the same result. And that really is a genuine definition of insanity. So you need to live intentionally every day. You need to seek the Lord. Put him first. You need to hear his voice. Live intentionally. Jesus often said, I must be about my Father's business. I must preach the kingdom. I must stay at your house today, Zacchaeus. He was going down the road. He knew today I'm going to look up a tree. I'm going to see a guy named Zacchaeus. I'm going to call him down. I'm going to go to his house. He's going to get delivered, household salvation, and he's going to be brought into the kingdom. Jesus lived intentionally. He said, I must go through Samaria. There's someone I'm going to meet today. There's a whole city going to get saved because of a meeting with a broken down, hopeless, helpless Samaritan woman who I'm going to touch and heal, and she's going to save a whole town. See, Jesus lived intentionally. You must live intentionally. There is a plan and a purpose for your life, and God wants you to walk in it and realize it every day. Can I get an amen right there? Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. This is an awesome recap. All right, so with Jesus, it was never someday or never almost. He was always there. He didn't put it off for tomorrow. He never almost got something done. He was and he is there. He's ready and he's always on time. He said, I must work the works of my Father, the one who sent me. Number three, they display confidence. Can I get a glory to Jesus? Confidence. I love confidence. Now, some people get repelled by confidence. You know, if you're confident, they think you're proud or you're arrogant or all those things. But I tell you, those who trust in the Lord will be. That's what the word says. Look what it says. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever leans on and trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord is safe and set on high. Come on, it's good to be confident in the Lord. The word confidence means is a compound word of two words, con and fidence, confidence, and that means with faith or with belief. So God says he wants you to be confident. There is a reward for being confident. When you're confident, it means that you have active, there is belief going on, and you're living with belief. Amen. Who's living with belief? It's confidence. You're living with belief. The word most translated confidence in the Greek is parhesia. Parhesia, all out and to pour forth or to utter. It literally has wrapped up in it that you are all out talking. That's a crazy thing right there, isn't it? But it's all outpouring out. It does have speech attached to it. And you know, when you're confident, you're not afraid to express what you're confident about. And you see, there is an aspect that confident people are not afraid to talk about how wonderful their God is. I'm not afraid to tell you today how awesome my God is and how much I trust Him and how much I depend on Him. And I know that He is a faithful God, and I'll be confident about my utterance about God. What is your utterance about God? A lot of people are confident to, man, I tell you, life's going bad. You have no idea, Pastor. You know, walking down the road the other day, banged my head on a rock, you know. I'm confident in the Lord that no matter what happens, nothing shall harm me because He told me, He watches over me, He keeps me safe and protects me. No matter what happened, He can redeem every circumstance, situation, and He can make me strong. I'm confident in the word of the Lord, every single bit of it. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Now, sadly, that verse tells us this. First of all, you can throw away your confidence. Because literally, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging you, don't do it. Don't. I was confident I was going to get a breakthrough, but now it's been 10 minutes since I prayed. Nothing happened. People throw away their confidence so quickly, but I want you to be confident. You know what? Outstanding people are confident. Outstanding people are confident. So we're going to learn a little bit about being confident this morning, all right? So I want to show you a little video. This was I'll show you a slide first. Give me another slide here. This is a fellow named Charles Blondin. That's him right there. How many remember a guy named Charles Blondin? He was back I think, in the late 1800s. But this guy would regularly go to Niagara Falls and put a steel wire rope across the falls, and he would walk across and do crazy things. And Charles Blondin was an amazing guy. But Charles Blondin also one day, give me another slide, it's a little picture, not a real picture of it, but Charles Blondin one day, he took a lady across Niagara Falls in a wheelbarrow. Now, first time I heard this story, I was listening to Billy Graham. I was listening to Billy Graham preaching, and he used this as an illustration talking about faith. And he said, you know, some people say they believe in Jesus, but you only really have faith if you're willing to get in the wheelbarrow. Some people say, I believe you could take me across. Get in. Not likely. But I want to show you a little video. Tim's going to help me out right now. I'm going to show you a little video. He's going to pull it up. He's going to turn it up. And let's watch this.
Jean-Francois Gravelet, better known as Blondin, was a famous tightrope walker and acrobat. He's perhaps best known for his many crossings of a tightrope, 1,100 feet in length, suspended 160 feet above Niagara Falls in the USA. His act would be watched by large crowds and begin with a relatively simple crossing using a balancing pole. Then he would throw away the pole and amaze the onlookers. On one occasion, he crossed the tightrope. Stilts. On another occasion, blindfolded. Another time, he stopped halfway to cook and eat an omelette. In 1860, a royal party from England came to watch Blondin perform. After his normal spectacular crossings, he then wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other as the crowd cheered. Next, he put a sack of potatoes into the wheelbarrow and wheeled that across. The crowd cheered louder. Then he approached the royal party and asked the Duke of Newcastle, "Do you believe that I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?"
"Yes, I do," said the Duke.
"Ah, hop in," replied Blondin. The crowd fell silent. But the Duke of Newcastle would not accept Blondin's challenge. "Is there anyone else here who believes I could do it?" asked Blondin. No one was willing to volunteer. Eventually, an old woman stepped out of the crowd and climbed into the wheelbarrow. Blondin wheeled her all the way across and all the way back. The old woman was Blondin's mother, the only person willing to put her life in his hands.
That's awesome, Tim. I think that's it, bud. Now, isn't that amazing? The video was a little different back then, wasn't it? But how many of you have heard that story? You heard that story before. You know, that I always was amazed by that story. It always touched me because it's one thing to say you believe. It's another thing to get in the wheelbarrow. There's a lot of people who say they believe a lot of things about God, but they're not that confident to fully, totally, completely lean on Him with all their strength and all their ability. You know, faith is a lot more than saying, yeah, I guess I believe that. Faith is where you literally will put yourself, like, imagine, I mean, it was his mom, but his mom had so much confidence in her son that she said, not a problem, I'll get in, son. You know, all the way across, she totally trusted, said, what an amazing ride. You'll never see the falls like this. Now, I don't have that kind of confidence. He's passed away now. He's been dead for a while. But I wouldn't get in that wheelbarrow. I wouldn't. But you see, she was confident. Either that or six pennies short of a nickel. But she was very, very confident that, you know, my son knows what he's doing, and I trust him, and I totally believe in him. Are you confident in your Lord and Savior? Do you manifest confidence in him? Do you manifest confidence in his word and his ability to perform that word in every single aspect of your life? Outstanding people have the kind of confidence, well, they will put their lives totally in touch with Jesus and trust in nothing else, cut every other cord and say, Jesus, you alone do I trust and am I confident in. Amen, Pastor. All right, so look at this now. There's a fellow named Hezekiah. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32, there was a guy named Hezekiah. And it says about Hezekiah, he was a king of Judah. And it says about Hezekiah that there was no king like him before and no king after. I mean, he totally turned the people. He totally turned the people back to God, cleansed the nation of idolatry, and restored the nation. He restored their military, their walls, their towers. I mean, the guy was in the Lord's own. Words the Lord said, there was none like him before or after. Now, he said, be strong and courageous and don't be afraid. What happened was, after you've done all this and you've served the Lord fully, suddenly an enemy comes to attack you. Have you ever felt that? I've never been so fully serving God. I've never felt so in love with him, so surrounded by his favor. I've never felt so confident in him. Hallelujah, glory to God. And then all of a sudden you get attacked in some ugly, nasty way. Has that ever happened to anybody? I mean, you know, that happens. And here it is. You know, bad things happen to real good people. And here's a guy who he's the king. He's done all this restoration, all this work. And then this great Assyrian king who's been wrecking the whole world, he decides I'm coming down to Judah, you're next. And he lines up out there and he sends his army out there and his general out there. But the king, he responded. He brought all the people together. He said, be strong and courageous and don't be afraid. With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us fight and to fight our battles. Amen. I don't care what's out there. I know that my God is faithful and he is the one who fights with us and for us. So no matter what is coming against me, me and God are a majority in every situation and I am confident in this. So the king's general shouts back to them and he says, he gets the people, he tells them, come on to the walls, and he's shouting at them, speaking the language of the Hebrew people. And he's saying, on what does your king base this confidence? On what do you base your confidence? You see, people want to challenge your confidence. Why are you so confident? But he said, we're confident because we trust in God and our God is faithful. And he said, I'm telling you, we've destroyed other nations. We're going to destroy you. But they said, no, you're not going to touch us. The king and the prophet Isaiah got together and they prayed and he cried out to heaven. And it says, the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor. When you're in a trouble, when you're in a spot, when you're in a place and you need help, he's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And God's ready to show up for you. But you know, confident people are those who walk through those things and see God manifest powerful things. There is a reward with confidence, and confident people are outstanding. So confidence, let's look some more at confidence. I love this verse, Philippians 1:28. You should underline it, wear it out, look at it. You should memorize it, Philippians 1:28. He says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. What does that mean? Don't shriek. Don't fall back. Every time you hear a bad report, don't go, oh no. If you hear a bad report, go, woohoo! Another chance to overcome. Another chance to manifest the goodness of God. Woohoo! Glory to Jesus. I'll take this one too. Devil, I'll keep you so occupied, you gotta leave everybody else alone. Bring it on, you ugly thing! Ooh, careful, Pastor. Don't want to be too confident. Well, the Bible says, do not be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Any way. Do not, because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to try to intimidate you. That's why it says he goes about like a roaring lion. Do you know what a roaring lion is? A roaring lion is the lion in the tribe that has lost his teeth. And he has to go around behind the prey and go, roar, to try to scare you out of your hiding place so that the young lions can jump on you. But he's like a roaring lion. He's the toothless beast who can't do anything against you. All he can do is roar, roar, roar. But if you listen to the bark and you jump out of your place of safety, you go, oh God, the devil barked at me. Ah! You stay in Christ, nothing can touch you. You stay in him and stay in him, your confidence. You know, God will be faithful every step of the way. Thank you, Pastor. Do not be intimidated in any way by your enemies. And your non-intimidation, your confidence, you're never being moved. You standing strong and fearless in the face of anything. Look what it says. That is a sign. That is a sign. Your confidence is a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. Your confidence is the sign of the victory that's on the way. It's a sign of the defeat that the enemy is going to take. Your confidence is going to be richly rewarded. Settle down. I know I put a big pause there. Wait 10 minutes because there's a standing ovation and they're running around the building because God is so good. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:7. Now here's Paul, 2 Timothy, one of his last books, and he wrote this to his son Timothy. And he's saying, Timothy, it's such a moving book when you read it, because he's saying, Timothy, my son, many are walking away from me. Many are saying, if Paul was the real deal, why is he in chains? If Paul was the real deal, I mean, Peter and these other guys, angels got them out of jail. I mean, if Paul was the real deal, how come he's been locked up and stuck in Rome all this time? And he says, many have become ashamed of my chains. Many have said, Paul's not got the goods anymore. He's not the guy. But he writes this letter to Timothy, his son, and he says, Timothy, he says, don't you be ashamed of my chains. You know who I am. I know who you are. I know what you learned at the feet of your mother and your grandmother. We have a personal relationship. Don't be ashamed of my chains. And don't you shrink back. Don't you become timid. Don't step back into that spirit. Because he says, for the spirit of God, the spirit that he gives you, it is not a spirit of timidity, but it's a spirit that gives you power, love, and self-discipline. No, if you're moving in any other kind of spirit, that's not from God, because the spirit you have from God is power. 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 You are powerful. You are ready. You are equipped for every circumstance and situation in life. It is the dunamis power of God. You've been filled with and flooded with the very spirit of God himself, the person of God himself, his might and his power and his majesty surround you, enable you, and empower you. And then you've got his love. I mean, my goodness. I mean, that is so powerful to me that God loves me. I mean, that is the biggest revelation, and I'm still trying to get my head around it, but God loves me. He fully loves me, and he doesn't just love me. He pours his love in my heart so that I can shed that love out to others. God loves me. I got a spirit of power and I got a spirit of love. And then it says I got a spirit of a sound mind or self-discipline. And because of the power, because of the love, I am disciplined. I am girded up the loins of my mind, the creative realm of who I am. I am in charge of this life and I'm operating in confidence because I have power and I have love and I have self-discipline to operate and follow God passionately with my spirit. So you do not have to ever be timid. That word to Timothy is also to you. Do not be timid. Do not be fearful. Never shrink back in any situation because God is with you and God is for you. Now let me give you another verse. Psalm 56 verse 4. It says, by the help of God, I will praise his word. By the help of God, I will praise his word. On God, I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I thank God that not only do I have him and a relationship with him, but I thank him for the wisdom of putting his word and his covenant in writing. And he put it in writing so I can speak it. And being confident is to speak. And I speak the word of God. Confident people get into the word and they speak the word. His word will give you confidence. Now in the Abraham Lincoln, the contents of his pockets when he was shot, the contents of his pockets are in the Library of Congress in a little blue box. The title on the box says Contents of the President's Pockets on the night of April 14th, 1865. There are five things in that box, and from what I understand, you can go and you can ask the librarian of the Library of Congress, and he will go and get you the box and show you what's in it. But in the box is a handkerchief embroidered with A. Lincoln on it. There's also a penknife, a country boy's penknife. There's also a spectacle case that was repaired with a piece of string. There's also a purse in it that contains a $5 Confederate bill. There's one other thing. It's a handful of newspaper clippings are in his wallet. And when you unfold the newspaper clippings and look at them, all the newspaper clippings are great deeds about Abraham Lincoln. He carried in his wallet little newspaper clippings about how awesome he is. And one of them was from a fellow named John Bright, who was a British statesman. He said, and in that, and he had it underlined, it says, Abraham Lincoln is one of the greatest men of all times. The greatest men's. One of the greatest men of all times. Abraham Lincoln kept these in his wallet. I could see there was times because, you know, that guy might have said that then. But in that day, Abraham Lincoln was despised. He was spoken against. He lived a lonely life. I mean, he had to battle for every single thing in his life. But you see, this guy saw through all the lies and things of other people. He saw this man is one of the greatest men of all times. We look back and we see that today. And history tells us that today. But Abraham Lincoln needed to keep those clippings from people. He put them in his wallet, and he said every once in a while he'd pull them out and go, I'm awesome. This guy says so. You know, sometimes you need encouragement. Sometimes you need a word. Sometimes you need something. When you're feeling beat down, you need to go to something and say, I'm awesome. You know, I got a file in my office. I really, really do. And it's full of cards and letters and emails I've printed off from people who have said, you're the best pastor I ever had. And call me whatever, but I keep them. Most of them aren't in the church anymore because they got mad at me a week later. But I have evidence that one day they thought I was awesome. And I do have this file. I really do. And I thought that was interesting that he had one too. But you know what? I rarely go to that file. I shove things in it every once in a while. But I got this file. I got this book. I got this record. I got this evidence. You know, and this is what really, really helps me. I base my confidence in his word. Look at this verse. Look at this verse. Zechariah 2:8 says, for whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. You know, my dad used to say that about me. He said, you're the apple of my eye. And I never really understood quite what that meant. I went, you're the apple of my eye. I don't know what that means, Dad. But I mean, that's all good. And he said it with affection. I didn't really get it. But, you know, in the word it says, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. Psalm 17:8, David is praying. He says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. I was looking at the Father the other day, and I took a picture of his eyeball. And I can show it to you. Do you see it? Isn't it amazing what technology can do? I got a picture of his eye the other day. And there it is. And you know what? When I looked at him, you know what I saw? I saw me. Then I realized I'm the apple of his eye. Because you know, when you look in someone's eye, you see a reflection of what they're looking at. And what God is saying is that my eye is on you all the time. Some of you can't see it really well. Let me focus it for you. Give me, there you go. You know what's really wild about that? I absolutely, totally believe it. And it makes me happy. You're the apple of his eye, too. You should put yourself in there. You should go home and make a picture. Put yourself there. Put it on your fridge. And remind yourself, I'm the apple of his eye. When people touch me, they touch the apple of his eye. And he says, I'll deal with it. You need to know that you're the apple of his eye. Let me wrap this up real quick. Are you ready? Let me wrap it up. Just Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 36. He says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, say illuminated, you endured, say endured. You endured great struggles and sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle of both by reproaches and tribulation, and partly because you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourself. Now, some translations say in heaven, but the earliest manuscripts don't say in heaven. So too often, translators want to shove stuff in heaven. But remember what the psalmist said? The psalmist said, I would have lost heart if I didn't get it in the land of the living. See, people lose heart when they say, it's going to be wonderful then. Oh, it's going to be crap from now on? Did you say crap, Pastor? Yes. That's what a lot of it is. You know, come to Jesus. It'll still be a mess, but I mean, someday he's going to come get you out of here. I mean, you know what? I would have despaired if I didn't believe that I would experience his goodness now. Now. And you see, that's not in there. I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. You know, because a lot of people, oh, when we get to heaven, won't it be wonderful then? Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. It has great reward. For you need endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you can receive the promise. Now, the will of God is confidence. The will of God is endurance. Let me give it to you quick. You ready? Confidence. Four qualities of confident people. Number one, first of all, it says, because you were illuminated. Illuminated. They know God and they embrace his word. So if you want to be a confident person, you want to grow in confidence, you need to be illuminated. That's what he said. Remember, you were illuminated. Remember, you're brought into a revelation of who he is. How many know him? Do you know him? Let me ask you this question. Does he know you? Because, you know, he doesn't say, depart from me, you didn't know me. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. See, and you knowing him is one thing, but letting him know you is altogether different and far more intimate. You know, let him know you. Sit, have an encounter with God, get illuminated by God and embrace him, know his word and experience him completely. Number one. Number two, practice. Hello. Practice. Remember, Mom said, practice makes perfect. If you want to play real well, you got to practice. It's the same way with your faith. You got to practice. Only the stuff that you're really practicing is the stuff you really believe. The stuff you're putting it into practice. You're doing something with it. This says they manifest evidence of what they believe. They said, remember, you were illuminated, and then you went through some stuff. You embraced some stuff. You started to participate in what you believed. And then he said, because of that, you then had to endure some things. There was some hardship. There were some difficulties. He said, but you endured those things. And then he goes on in number four. He says, and then you're rewarded. He says, because when you do that, confidence when you're illuminated, confidence when you start to practice, confidence when you endure and you persevere, that confidence will always lead to reward. All right, I got one more slide for you. Three attributes, outstanding people. They are planted, they are intentional, and they display. Well, I got the quiet, down, deep confidence. No, confidence literally has speaking attached to it. That word has a belief and a value in something enough that it pours out of you. There is confidence that you declare and you manifest and you express. But outstanding people are planted. Are you planted? Are you planted? Are you planted? I mean, are you really in a relationship with Jesus? You guys just date every once in a while. I mean, you got to be fully planted, fully engaged, fully in. Outstanding people live intentionally. Every day you're living intentionally, realizing that you're just a steward of your time. You're just a steward of your gifts and your abilities. You're a steward. You now are a servant of Almighty God. And what you do every day is say, you gave your life for me. Now I give my life for you. Come, put me on like a garment. You do what you want to do in and through me every day. That's what outstanding people do. And then outstanding people are people who display confidence. Don't be afraid to be confident. And especially be confident in the Lord. I'm not talking about self-confidence because that won't get you anywhere. You go to 500, you know, courses and all kinds of stuff, learn about how to be self-confident, blah, blah, blah. But you know, when you're confident in the Lord, he'll help you understand who you are. He'll help you lay hold of all your giftings, talents, and abilities. He'll help you steward all that he has blessed you with. And if you're a good steward with it, he'll give you more. And you can walk in confidence knowing that God is faithful and he will never fail you and he'll never let you go. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, stand on your feet. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Outstanding. Outstanding. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're outstanding. Oh, praise you, Jesus. All right, can you do something with me? I'd like you all just bow your heads, close your eyes, and just want you to start praying. All right, everybody praying. Just bow your head, close your eyes, everybody pray. Now listen, if you're here today, you wandered in and a friend brought you or somebody, and you know, maybe you're here today and you say, I want to be outstanding. Well, the first journey, the first step to being outstanding, I mean the God kind of outstanding, the out of this world outstanding, which is what God is inviting you into, you first of all have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You know, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, we can help you with that today. It's so easy. It says if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you're going to be saved. And so we want to give you that opportunity right now. So nobody's looking around. It's just you. It's just you and your own heart. And it's a little pitter-patter going on. That's, wow, this could be a special time for me. This is a moment for me. You know, if you don't know him as your Savior, I want to lead you to the knowledge of his saving grace today. All right, so I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3. And when I do that, I only do that so you know when to do it. But what I want you to do is put up your hand, just identify, and hold it up high enough that I can see it, okay? But when I say that, 1, 2, 3, not yet, Raise your hand. Let me see it. All right. Are you ready? Here it is. It's for you right now. You're going to tell me, I want to know that I know that I know Jesus today. Are you ready? One, two, three. Right now. Just raise your hand high enough. High enough. Thank you. High enough. Thank you. High enough. High enough. High enough that I can see it. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Can we all pray together? Let's all pray. You ready? You pray. You let your voice be heard. Listen to your voice and you say this. All right, you ready? Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for bringing me into the family of God. I confess my sins are forgiven. I'm healed. And I'm free in Jesus' name. So thank you for being my Lord and being my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome! So look up, look up, look up, look up here, look up here. You ready? I want to tell you with absolute confidence today that your sins are forgiven. That you're a child of God. Past, present, future, bam, it's done, it's gone. You now have a relationship with God that is based on what He's done for you, and not on your ability to please Him, but on His ability to love you. And now you can live a pleasing life. You can live a life of His favor and goodness because He now has come in and He has filled you with His goodness so that your whole world is going to shift. But I don't want just make a few decision makers or a few prayer makers. We really do want to make disciples. We want to help you grow in the full knowledge of what just happened to you today. You have been born again, which means that what existed when you walked in, it's gone. What exists now is a new creation in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? You ever said, I wish I could start over? I wish I could just be born again? I wish I could just eliminate all this garbage that got, you know, passed on to me down my bloodline and all these other things? You ever wish, I wish I could be free and my whole family runs diabetes and all this? You ever wish you could say, I wish I could be free of that whole thing? You ever say that? Well, you know what? That's what being born again is. You are re-engineered. You are literally, your whole DNA is rewritten. It says you are a new creation. There's something new that never existed before. It is new. It is newly formed. It is newly created. And you are completely free to experience all of the goodness of God. Isn't it good to be born again? And if you're born again, you can be baptized. And we got one of them coming up on the 9th, so sign up today. I love baptismal services. I'm going to pray for y'all right now. We got folks coming up front right now. They're going to come up because they're getting ready to pray for you. We got altar ministry teams, and they're ready. You know, how many have been to the altar and got prayer? How many? How many has been really, really good? Lord, minister to you. He met you there. I tell you, it's a good thing. We always want to offer you prayer. There's ministry here. These people are trained to hear from God, to speak with you, to help you and encourage you. And so I want you to make use of the altar, all right? So I'm going to pray and bless you, but you come. If you need ministry, please come, because they're ready to minister to you, all right? Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a great day. What a great day. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I thank you for your goodness, your grace. Lord, I have confidence in you. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would embrace the confidence that we have in you. My confidence is in the Lord. And Lord, let it be on display. Let it be an expression. I pray, Father, that fear would be broken off of each and every one. For anyone who's in a place feeling intimidated or feeling challenged, Lord, I pray that they would put their confidence in you, that they'd cast every care on you because you care for us. And that, Lord, I pray that that word in Philippians 1:28 would just burn in each of our hearts. Don't ever be intimidated in any way, because it's a sign to the enemy of his defeat, and it's a sign of your victory, which is absolutely assured. So, Father, bless this house, I pray. Father, may your wonderful love wrap everyone. The knowledge of it just explode in their hearts. Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for that unmerited favor that propels us each and every day. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your partnership. And I thank you that I'm never alone, never alone, never alone, because you are with me every step of the way. So I command that richest blessing on this house right now. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, go forward, be blessed, prosper, manifest the kingdom everywhere you go. In Jesus' precious name, amen.